Blog Talk Radio.
Kelly, we are making last-minute connections here to get the show going. Just had a technical thing on getting our guest tonight, but we're going to work that out. I'm going to actually, Mike Jones is joining us tonight as our call screener. Hey, Mike, you're on live.
Hey, Doug, how's it going? Hey, everybody.
Hey, good. Boy, your volume is really low, too. Let me check my volume. Maybe it's me. Maybe you're good. It is me. I think Skype has this funky way of adjusting your volume, and I've even got it set to off. So, tonight, we're going to be talking with Brian Parsons. He's doing an investigation with John Sable and their team at Farnham Manor in Ohio. So we're going to get him on the line in just a moment. And So Mike's going to help me talk about things, aren't you, Mike?
Yeah.
Well, while I do that stuff, so.
Well, absolutely.
So, talk to us about something cool while I get Brian.
Something
on the line.
Cool. Well, just anything technical or anything I find fascinating? Okay. Well, the past guest you had on, I was really fascinated by. Doing some physics experiments out on site, I was really intrigued by what he was talking about, the possibility of dimensions and possibilities of overlapping, actually. And I really thought that was, that's probably the best theory out there right now as why paranormal things are happening.
Mm-hmm.
And, like I said, he was getting good information. I love the fact that he's getting good scientific There we go.
Brian, you there?
Yes, I'm here.
All right, we have Brian. We don't have to send Knuckles out.
Oh, thank goodness, Knuckles.
How you doing tonight?
Well, it's been a day already. You've done a lot of work.
Yeah, I'll bet you have. I've been trying to call you for like 15 minutes now, but apparently there wasn't a good signal or something.
Yeah, I'm actually outside, stepped out to see if that would help.
Oh, good. So how's the investigation going?
Well, it's going pretty good. We just started about 45 minutes ago. We did a walk around the property, which was a way of John and some of the guests that are here that have never visited Farnham to allow Farnham Manor, the spirits of Farnham Manor, to get used to them before they entered. It's actually something that was described by Everett Farnham, who used to own the property, about circling the property three times before you enter, and as well as a few other little scenarios within that helped connect with some evidence, John's
cool.
Message of connecting with the environment.
Cool. So how long have you been there now today?
Actually, we met John up here about 1 o'clock this afternoon. And we went down the street to a little cafe, and we sat with him and the group and the owners of Farnham Manor. We sat there working out our all of our scenarios, which includes, right now we're at 18. We may add a few more. Originally, we started with 22, but that's going to last us until about 9 or 10 o'clock in the morning, so I don't know how long we're going to do that. But we spent a significant time at the cafe this morning going over step-by-step the process that we're going to do to help excavate the ghost of Farnham Manor.
Cool.
And, you know, it's a lot of planning and preparation, and John and I have been doing that via email and telephone prior to that. This was just to sit down to get all the details in place, and it takes work to do it the right way.
Well, cool. Let me welcome our listeners in our chat room. We appreciate you taking time out to join us tonight. And if anybody does have a question for Brian or about the investigation and things, about the history and all that, please feel free to give us a call. The number I will put in the chat room, it's also there on your screen, 347-945-7799. And we've, of course, got Mike Jones here with us tonight. He's co-hosting as well as screening calls. So feel free to call in. You'll connect with Mike. Give him your first name, your location, and whether you have a comment or a question, and he will relay that to me, and we'll get you on the air. And if you're also welcome to ask questions in the chat room, we'll be monitoring that. So, Brian, you've investigated this place previously, correct?
Correct. This would be our actual third time of an investigation, one of which was with the general public. We had about 15 other people come in here to help investigate, which obviously tampers potential evidence. But nonetheless, actually that night we had a lot of activity, which, you know, having a lot of people in the building seems to do that.
Hmm.
And tonight we have, I think, 11 people total. Well, they're in the building tonight, so it should be interesting.
So have you had a chance to do any of the techniques, any of John's techniques?
Yeah, actually, each little, you know, act is called a scenario. So we're actually on the third scenario, which we were hoping to do at the time of the podcast, because we have we brought a singer, Tiffany Apin, she just sang Little Ghost. Wait, little lost ghost. No, I'm sorry, little girl lost. Just saying that in the kitchen area as a way to connect with Emily. Emily was the daughter of Everett Farnham. She unfortunately drowned in the cistern located in the kitchen area. Now, This isn't a way of connecting with her death. This is a way of connecting to her in her life, because this was an area where she was quite active in life, you know, running around. She's been seen by frequent visitors running around the table, peeking down through inside and out of doorways. So this is something that we're looking to hopefully connect with her in there.
Did you see any results from that offhand or at the moment?
Actually, I'm outside, they're inside, mm-hmm. So I wasn't able to participate in that particular scenario.
Go ahead.
The really only noteworthy thing that we've seen so far was when John actually drove up for the first time to Farnham Manor. He got out and was speaking with the owners, and he didn't want to come inside the building. He wanted to, you know, he didn't want to tamper it. He didn't want to, you know, create any kind of bias or anything. So he was standing there, and he was like, "Oh, you have people inside cleaning up. I see people moving around." She looked at him and looked back. She was like, "No, there's nobody in there at all." He's like, "I just saw a lady with a white shirt going back and forth." She's like, "No." And that's actually a common sighting in this building, is the typical lady in white kind of sighting.
Uh-huh.
But many, many people have seen that, even people who have never heard of that being seen in this particular building. And then, just kind of circumstantial, but when we were at the little cafe, one of the local police officers came in here and, you know, even though we're in the suburbs of Cleveland, we're 25 miles from downtown Cleveland, this is out in the middle of nowhere. I mean, there's really not a whole lot around here. There's maybe one restaurant down the street, and that's the only restaurant for miles. So the officer was in there. It was a police officer in the diner. He was telling us how they frequently come out here because people will see people inside the building from the outside, or the former owners had seen people walking around and called the police because they thought there was an intruder.
Huh.
So I guess it's a common sighting in this building.
So do they have any kind of an alarm system there? with motion detectors?
Yeah, but it's never been you know, triggered when people go in. But you know, seeing somebody walking around, you know, they're going to respond to that.
Huh. Hey, Brian.
I don't think the alarm is ever.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No,
I was going to ask you, as far as the technical aspects, I realize that the technique John uses is different from what we normally do. I was going to ask you, what kind of equipment are you guys carrying out on site to get any evidence?
Well, we have our DVR system, so we have cameras. And actually, with them walking around the perimeter of the building, and you know, like I just said about him seeing movement from the outside, we actually have DVR cameras outside facing towards the windows. We also have other cameras facing out. Now, obviously, they're not interacting with each other because you get those nice little bright balls of light. So we're covering the inside and the outside, you know, looking for any movement, looking for shadows, anything that's going to cause us to stop what we're doing and focus on the any kind of sighting. We have EMF detectors. We have digital recorders pretty much in every room. We have, when we do all these scenarios, we have a camera person on that group at all times. And my job before I had to do this was to shoot the camera guy who was filming the people. So we have multiple layers of controls on what's happening and what's being done and what's being filmed. Or so we have, you know, evidence to back up our evidence, basically.
Right, you're an experiment, you know, filming an experiment, exactly. That's the other question, I mean, does everybody pretty much carry digital recorders, stuff like that with them, personal equipment?
Not everybody, especially our team psychic who would drain the battery in about 5 minutes. But most of the people do, and we'll have them in particular locations, because we're going to do one scenario, we're going to actually play flapper music, and that was 1920s, 1930s music. We have a radio set up for that, so we have to be careful of the recording location, obviously, so hopefully we can pick up stuff. And obviously that'll provide some white noise, too, some background to drown out if there's any other discussion. But we're going to do a poker-playing scene where two individuals are going to be playing poker, and they're going to be doing some performance with that, and each one is going to have a lapel mic. So each independent person, you know, will have their own recording. And I guess I should kind of give you the overall scope with what John's doing. He's looking at three distinct time periods. Now, Farnham Manor was built in 1834 by Everett Farnham. So he owned the property until he died in the late 1888, somewhere around there he passed away. The property was his, or in his family, until the 1890s. So we're looking at that time period when he was alive, when he was part of the house. The second part we're looking at is the 1920s and 1930s. This was a place out in the middle of nowhere, which it is now. And the lady who ran it was out of Akron, and they did some illegal things. You know, in the 1920s, 1930s, you had prohibition. There was a lot of drinking and a lot of gambling and a lot of other things that are incorporated into drinking and gambling, if you follow my drift.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to try to reenact, within faithfulness, of course, some of those types of events that would have happened during that time period. And then the third time period, from 1948 to 1972, this location was a Danish smorgasbord, which was very popular in this area. Lots of people came here, so I'm excited about having a lot of people here. So we've actually set up a buffet in the exact same area where the buffet would have been during that time period. And we've actually cooked a lot of food, Danish-type food. We actually have an old menu that we followed, and we're going to actually eat. So we're going to kind of play at that and get to eat dinner all at the same time.
Wow. That sounds good. I was going to ask you if you had any sensitives on location.
We have basically two. We have our lead investigator, Carly. She has a background in crime scene investigation. She actually does have, she is sensitive, and we kind of call her our team psychic is Erica. She is very connected to this building. She comes up here frequently, and she bonds with the spirits here at Farnham Manor. So she's very familiar with everything, and she's been a guide for John to to do some of his scenarios, and she's been a guide for us as well as far as setting up equipment. And she's gotten some phenomenal EVPs, which I'll be glad to put up on the Paranexus website.
Cool. So I was going to ask you, too, is there anybody else there that is willing to chat for a few minutes? Or as progress, we don't have to do it right now, but I wanted to, including perhaps John, if he's free, can come on and we can get a few of his comments.
John is I've been on that show 3 times. They don't want to hear my voice. When I get starting to talk, I'll talk forever.
No, I actually want you on the show.
What's that?
Is that what? Are you talking about yourself or John?
No, John. John.
He does. Yeah, he doesn't want to come on, or he does?
No, he'll come on. I told him he's got to make an appearance.
Oh, yeah.
He just didn't want to talk and talk and talk, because that's how he gets.
Oh, sure. Well, that's fine. I just want to tell our listeners again, if you have questions for Brian or for John or for anybody who comes on, feel free to give us a call. Mike Jones is screening calls tonight. You can call us at the number on your screen there. I also put it in the chat room, 347-945-7799. You can also take questions in the chat room if you are logged in. And we'd love to hear from you. We're monitoring our switchboard as we speak. So you said earlier that you're going to be there how long on this investigation tonight, tomorrow?
Well, originally, we had no idea of the length of time, but John kind of sprung it to us when he was going over all this 22 scenarios about we're going to break about 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning and then come back at 8. And I don't think we're going to do that. I think we're going to try to do, well, kind of some of my plans that I'd given to him kind of made that happen. But I think we're probably going to just work through the night and wrap up. What do we get? We have breaking news.
Oh, cool. So we'll wait for their breaking news.
You want to talk to the listeners?
Who we got?
Hey, everybody.
John Sable, Doug Kelly here.
Hey, how you doing, Doug?
Great. Got Mike Jones here as well.
Hey, John.
We had Tiffany sing a nice little song, and we just got something on video that we looks like Emily, a bright light coming down the stairs. Yeah, there it is. We got it. We got it on tape. A bright light coming down the stairs, going into Tiffany after she sang, and then going out of her real fast. We got it on tape.
Cool. So you're on your third scenario, are you?
Yeah, we're on the third scenario. We did the first scenario, sort of introduction. We wanted to so we walked around the building 3 times, which is it's an historical record that he requested that, so we did that. Then we said a little speech at the beginning before we came, asking him for permission. So what we are trying to do is introduce us as friends as opposed to 21st century investigators. You know, we wanted to be part of that culture of the 1830s, so we went through the ritual of doing that activity at the house 3 times and then asking permission to come into the house. Then we went immediately into the kitchen where really below the kitchen is the cistern where she drowned, and Tiffany sat in a chair that's over 100 and some years old. She sat in the chair and sang the song.
Now, is Tiffany
right
the psychic?
No, Tiffany is the singer.
Okay.
And we just got on tape. We just reviewed it just right now. After she finished the song, there's this bright orb coming down the stairs, went over to where Tiffany was sitting after she finished the song, went like through her somehow, then came back out and went back up the stairs. We got that on tape just now.
Well, that's cool.
Yeah.
Wow. So what other scenarios? Go ahead.
That was at the first level, okay? We went down to the basic level from the time the house was constructed in the 1830s. Now I want to do a scenario. I want to be time specific, so I'm going to do a scenario right now around, like, it's almost 10 o'clock or 9:30, so we're going to recreate a scenario from the 1960s to the 1970s when the place was a Danish smorgasbord restaurant. So we have food, Danish food, and we're going to go out on the patio where customers would go out there and sit, and we're going to sit and eat out there. The same song called Ghost, while we were out there, we're going to have pastries going back into the dining.
You're breaking up a little bit, John. If you could head more outside.
Okay, let me go outside. that sound better?
Yeah, it's starting to, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, so what we did is we're going to do the one with the Danish restaurant. So we're going, jumping from the 1820s up into the 1970s, but in the same symmetrical space, but we're doing a different scenario to try to get a manifestation from that period in the history of the house. So we're going to have sit down in the restaurant where the customers used to eat, and we're going to serve ourselves Danish food, and Tiffany's going to sing a song, original song called Ghost, while we're eating. Then we're all going to go into the dining room, serve ourselves pastry and coffee, and invite Mr. Farnham to come in and have coffee with us if he likes to eat coffee. So that's the next scenario coming up.
Cool.
After that, we're going to go into another area of the building, going up to the era of the 1920s, and when it was a gentleman's club, and we're going to do four different scenarios from that time period. We're going to do some gambling, and I'm going to have one of the investigators cheat in gambling and see what happens, what kind of reaction we get. Then we're going to have, it was also a brothel as well, so we're going to have one of the investigators come in and do some enticing remarks to one of the gamblers, and we'll see what happens from that scenario. We're also going to play music from the 1920s as an atmospheric thing and see what we can get from that. And then we're going to, after that, when it gets later on in the evening, we're going to go up to the bedroom where Mr. Farnham died. And he did not like alcohol, and he did not like cigarettes or cigars in the house. So we're going to have one of the female investigators go up there and drink a couple shots of whatever we got here in alcohol. Plus, going to open, light up a stogie and start smoking in his bedroom and see if we get some kind of reaction to that. And we're going to read some stuff from the Bible because Mr. Farnham was very, very big on the Bible. So we're going to read some quotations from the Bible. And we're going to do some other things up in his bedroom, and then we're going to leave a stationary camera there and use these objects as target objects, and we're going to outline them and have the camera rolling all night and see what happens when we come back in the morning. And then we have about four or five other scenarios that we're going to do outside early in the morning. So we're going to be continuously doing different things from different cultural levels, from different time periods and different scenarios, and see which ones work, which ones don't work. Now, not all of them are going to work, because, I mean, as a human being or a ghost, you retain your characteristics in life and in death. So some things you like and some things you don't. So, but we are getting some things from the things we are doing, especially after Tiffany sang her song. Let me get Tiffany and just tell you a little bit about how she felt while she was singing the song.
Okay.
Hello.
Hi, Tiffany. This is Doug, and got Mike here, too.
Hello.
Oh, hi. How you guys doing?
Good.
Doing great.
So you were the singer, huh?
Yes. Uh-huh. Yep. And, I just sang to Emily at here at Farnham Manor, and it was a good experience, I'll say. That I haven't felt anything really negative here at all, so it's all just been positive energy, so... Yeah.
So this ball of light apparently, what, went through you? Is that correct?
Yeah, that's what they're saying. I haven't seen the footage yet or anything, but apparently somebody, there was a ball of light that came down the stairs and came over to me and came through me, which is weird because I actually felt almost as though somebody were like touching my hands, and I almost felt like at first I thought maybe maybe she was sitting in my lap or something, but that could have been like her like coming in through me or anything or something to that effect. And apparently they said that she was sitting on the stairs listening to what I was listening to my song. And then she invited me up to see her room, which was a nice compliment. So
that's what they told you, the psychics, I'm assuming?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Cool.
Mm-hmm.
So how long have you been doing investigations, Tiffany?
Oh, this is my first one, but I've had quite a few experiences with, like, the spirit world and the paranormal, so this isn't completely foreign to me. So, yeah.
Well, good. Well, hopefully you'll have some interesting experiences tonight.
I've already had a couple interesting experiences, so yeah, but all good. So.
Well, great. Put John or Brian back on, and we'll keep the conversation going. Nice talking
to
you. Thanks.
Oh, nice talking to you too.
Thanks, Tiffany.
So, John, you've got quite a few people there. And who else would like to comment on what's been going on?
Hello.
Oh, it's Brian.
What's been going on? What did I miss?
Oh, I thought John came back. So I guess you've got some other people there, huh? Anybody else?
Not sure. Whoever you want to talk to.
Who's your psychic again, your team psychic?
Erica.
Erica, maybe she could come on at some point, or anybody who's handy. Let us know what they're.
Even the person that filmed the person that filmed the orb is somebody I'd be interested in hearing from.
He can. You know, we think we might have already figured it out, but this is Nicholas. He's actually one of our newest investigators, but he's very, very smart, very, very knowledgeable. So, but take it easy on him because he's a newbie.
Yeah.
Hello.
Hi, Nicholas.
Hi, how are you?
Good. It's Doug and Mike here. So you're on the team tonight. How are things going?
Things are going very well so far.
So what have what's been your impressions?
The impressions of the whole approach was absolutely amazing, putting ourselves in the position that Farnham would like walking around the house 3 times to introduce ourselves, asking him to come in the house, and also the smorgasbord that we're going to have.
Yeah,
is something
making
that
me hungry.
So, what
are you doing on the investigation? What's your role?
Well, my role in the first scenario was to film the group walking around the house and then film Tiffany, who sung a song to Emily.
Mm-hmm. Did you see the ball of light on the camera?
Well, what happened was, is after she was done singing, she asked Emily if she liked the song, and what I saw on my camera was, it looked like a ball of light that went towards her, and then went away, like it quickly flew away.
Hmm. Interesting.
So it actually changed directions, is what you're saying.
Yes.
Okay.
Well, yeah. Yeah, that's cool. Well,
it
good.
It went like kind of right by her face, and then like it flew towards her face, and then went away, the opposite direction.
Hmm. So cool. So you're one of Brian's newer members. Is that correct?
Yes. Yeah.
So he said to go easy on you, so you'll have to tell him we went easy on you. Well, thanks for sharing your stuff, Nicholas.
No problem.
Great.
Did you want to talk to anybody else?
Yeah, whoever's close. If Brian's close, get him back on, and we'll coordinate through him.
All right, thank you.
Yeah, thanks for joining us. Brian's probably trying to figure out what the heck was that ball of light.
Yeah, we're in the process. All right, here's Brian.
We got a question in the chat room, too.
Yeah, Hey, Brian, so have you had a chance to review that footage?
I watched it over his shoulder really quick, and I think it's a little friend flying around, but... But, I don't want to burst the bubble yet. We really haven't had time to really analyze it, but it looks to me as the flight path of a fly.
Yeah, gotcha.
But I'd only seen it real quick a couple of times on a little teeny tiny screen, but when they saw it, it looked like an intelligent flight path. But I don't think anybody saw it visually glowing. So.
Right.
Which, we know how that goes.
Well, cool. So, we'll talk to to whoever's next there, and in the meantime, I would like to tell our listeners that if you've got questions you'd like to call in and ask Brian or John or somebody who's on the phone at the time a question, feel free to do so. The number's on your screen. If you have a headset on your computer, you can use that Skype push-to-talk button, and we'll take you that way. Also, just an FYI to our chat room and our live listeners, I have the show set to 2 hours. We're not going to go 2 hours. I did that so that in case we had any technical issues, we would have some overflow here. So we'll probably be going close to an hour or thereabouts. So even though it says a couple hours, we'll be winding it up here so these guys can get back to doing their stuff. Now, Brian, your next scenario is going to start at 10, did you say?
Thereabouts.
Okay.
That's up to John.
Cool.
He's the master of the time schedule.
Mm-hmm. Master of time, space, and dimension.
In the library? Yeah, or in the kitchen? Okay, yeah. Oh, yes. Eating time next.
All right.
So we're gonna start our 1920s, 1930s scenario. We'll be next to where we're going to reenact setting up the smorgasbord we've already done. Go ahead.
So you know, I know you've mentioned it, and you probably described it earlier, but just, okay, so your next scenario is the eating scenario. So describe how that's going to play out.
Well, basically, we're just going to reenact how, you know, guests would have come into the smorgasbord. There's a particular way that they would go load their plates, which we'd tape that on the wall where it would have been for, you know, people would have had instructions on what item to eat first or whatever. And then, you know, and everything's set up exactly how it would have been when the smorgasbord was around. And then we'll actually engage in eating, which is fun. It's a great scenario right there to be able to actually engage in eating. And with that, you're going to have the scent. You're going to have the smell. You know, the aroma filling the room, which is something that we have not yet played with. So that'll be interesting to see how that's been done.
Cool.
With, you know, the food smell permeating.
Well,
we're also going to try to get Mr. Kirk, who is the actual owner of the smorgasbord, we're actually going to try to invite him out to drink coffee with us. So, you know, we're going to try just different things within that particular scenario to try to get some sort of reaction. So all the while, we'll still be recording, we'll be videotaping from a distance. We have a couple of IR cameras set up in that location. You know, so it's kind of relaxing to have fun, but at the same time, other people will be documenting what's happening from a distance. And obviously, if anything does happen, we'll notify the people who are participating in that action so that we can move it to the next step to actually perform things to try to continue to engage. You know, at that point, usually what happens with a ghost hunting group or some paranormal investigation group is they freak out. They run out of the room. They say, dude, run, or something like that. So what we're doing is we're going to continue that step. Instead of freaking out and everyone stop and look at the ghost, we're going to continue to act. We're going to continue to try to draw out it's popping. So we're going to pop the ghost. We're going to
pop
the spirit. We're going to pop.
Like pop him in the head.
Pop him in the head, yeah. You know, it's a process. And what we're doing is trying to, it's more of a parapsychological approach than anything. It's not a ghost hunting. It's not just reenacting and having fun. It's about when we get something, we're going to continue to go forward, trying to continue that communication process.
So in this popping or this drawing out, it's more of a flexible approach.
Correct.
Whatever you get, you just go with the flow and try to...
Go with the flow, right.
Cool.
I mean, we have a script to an extent, but as you get deeper into the script or that particular scenario, then it's, you do whatever you need that you feel is right. And when something happens, then we would pop. We would just continue to evolve that scenario into what we need to do to continue.
Okay, there's a couple questions in the chat room. One pertains to the psychic, so when Erica comes on, we'll ask her that. Jen Sykes from Orlando, are they wearing period clothing for each of the scenarios?
We had talked about wearing period clothing, but I think some of the women were against the corsets. We don't, you know, obviously mid-1800s clothing would be very difficult to replicate. That was before mass production of clothing. You know, you're talking about handmade clothing in that era. Although Everett Farnham would have had the money to probably get his stuff brought by horse from New York or wherever, so I'm sure that's what he did. As far as the smorgasbord, you know, we don't really know what they were for that particular time period, but I don't think that's, you know, the clothing is more as important as, you know, your attitude and your direction, what you're saying, what you're providing in the environment. If you're providing good smells, you're providing a good energy, you're saying the things that these people would understand in a language that they would understand, not in the 21st century language. You're not giving too much 21st century technology. Like inside, we're not using any flashlights. That was one of John's rules, which I didn't think of, but I think it's very smart to do that because they didn't have flashlights back in 1850. We have lanterns everywhere. We have candles, naturally lit environment.
So you're actually keeping the traps more or less to that time period.
Correct.
Okay. I'm sorry, Scott was breaking up. Go ahead.
Oh, that's fine. I said no period clothing. That's the short answer.
Okay. We got another question from Ghost Rider. Are they going to play any period of the time music?
Yes, actually, we have a whole CD of flapper music, and it's on CD and playing in the CD player, but it sounds like it's on a record. And we're going to be playing that in our particular scenario where we're actually going to be engaging in gambling, as well as I believe John explained that a little bit with the girls that'll be in the room as well. But yeah, music will lead off that second particular scenario first.
Oh, okay.
And we'll play it maybe the song or two.
Which now, you mentioned.
I'm sure Everett had records. Go ahead.
I was going to say, you mentioned something about actually escalating the participation once you do start actually getting responses. So is there actually, I mean, is there actual method? You have different phases of the interaction you guys perform?
Yeah, well, each one is different. You don't want to have a complete pattern to every scenario you do. You want to change things up a little bit. And obviously it depends on who you're talking to or what period you're talking to or what you're trying to invoke with each one. Our first scenario was being polite, was being nice, and trying to gain entry into the building. And our gambling sequence will be a little bit more, we're actually going to have one of the players is going to cheat. So there's going to be a little confrontation there. And then our girl's going to come in and she's going to distract the players. So there's a lot of emotion, which would have happened in a place like this. You know, you got a lot of liquor flowing, you got people are trading money. So there's going to be a little bit more energy to that scenario than there would have been just gaining entry. So it depends on what you're doing as to how much you're going to put into it.
Right. I didn't know there was like different phases. Like there's so much acting going on, and then when you actually start having a response, then you escalate what you're doing as far as.
Yeah, we'd stop the scenario right there and continue to, again, pop that particular ghost. We're going to focus on that activity, whatever's going on, to continue to try to draw it out. So whatever we're doing is working. So instead of going to the next step, we'll just stay there and continue to draw it out, see if we can get any kind of communication from that.
Getting
answers.
So who do you got for us next?
We can speak with Erica.
Great.
Who's our psychic, and again, she spent more time in Farnham Manor than any of the investigators. She actually comes out here by herself and does EVP recordings, and I actually joined her last week. I know, this week? I don't know, it's been a long week. But I actually came out here, and I'm filming her, doing her EVP sessions and recording as well, so hopefully if she gets something, we can actually get it on video, on her audio, as well as my audio, and a little bit of science.
Sounds good. We'll put Eric on, and we'll talk to her.
Hello.
Hi, Erica. It's Doug Kelly and Mike Jones. How are you?
Hi, I'm great. Thank you. How are you guys?
Good, thanks.
How's it going?
Having a good time there? Having an interesting investigation so far?
We are. It is very interesting. John's approach is very unique, and we're enjoying it. I think he's got a really great approach. I think he's going to be able to unearth some really interesting things this evening. So already we've had a little bit of a reaction from Emily that although I know they're saying that what they have on camera is obviously an insect, possibly, but I definitely felt her come down and pop in. And Emily is one of these kind of like a little girl. You know, she wants to run in. She wants to see what's happening, and she's shy and giggles and runs back out. So kind of that's kind of what she does. Which she did do, and she was interested. She was listening. So I think that was very, very positive. She also wanted Tiffany to come up and look in the room because the song that Tiffany sang was absolutely lovely, totally, very, very beautiful. But and her voice just resonated just with a richness and a quality of, you know, the timelessness. It was just beautiful. And Emily enjoyed it. She loved it. But she also felt that the when she was singing, she was very sad. And this was surprising to me because I've been here a lot, and I didn't really feel that from Emily before, but she really understood that Tiffany was sad as she was singing it, and she invited Tiffany up to see her room to kind of cheer her up or share something with her. So I thought that was, again, very positive. It was a good reaction, and looking forward to seeing what else happens this evening.
So Brian says that you've been out there quite a bit.
I come out maybe once a week or so. The goal in the beginning of that was to get to know the spirits who are, you know, living here, consciously living here, and to allow them to begin to trust me. Because it really, when you came, everybody kind of scattered and, you know, didn't really want to come out and didn't really want to interact much. So I kind of wanted to earn their trust and get to know them. And, you know, just as you would if they were living, you wouldn't just walk in and say, okay, come out and talk to me. You know, you would ask them. You would be kind. You would be gentle. You would be respectful and you know, become friends. And that's kind of what I've been working on doing.
So you feel like that's had some success? They're comfortable with you and know who you are?
I do. I feel like most of them are, but, you know, you have to remember everybody has their own personality and you know, own needs, and sometimes people want to communicate, and sometimes they don't, and, you know, you try to be respectful of that and give them the space when they want it, and, you know.
So
I never try to force anybody to talk to me or anything like that.
So how many spirits have you picked up on there at the...
You know, that's a really good question. There are some that definitely kind of wander around the property. There are some who are here more often. So I would say maybe about four are here normally, regularly, and others kind of come around or in ways. So, and it's been very, very interesting to feel entities from different time periods. That's extremely different, very interesting for me. That was one of those things that kind of caught my attention. Said, "Wow, this is really unique. This is a really wonderful place. This is a piece in time. This building is a piece in time. It's just lovely. This room is full of incredible, you know, furnishings and marble fireplaces. And so when you walk in, you just feel good when you walk in. So it's really great to feel." Entities from, you know, 150 years ago and as early as 40, 50 years ago. It's really interesting. It's kind of a bouquet of spiritual activity, so it's quite beautiful.
Are the spirits aware of each other?
That's a really good question again. And on some level, most of them are aware of each other. However, there isn't a tremendous amount of interaction between certain individuals. However, the children are aware of each other, and they do interact. Sarah, she's aware of the children. They are aware of each other, but there's a few that really don't interact with anybody else, and I can understand that.
Sure. So what was your impression? Well, you've already talked about your impression when who was singing?
Tiffany.
Tiffany, yes. And you already mentioned that it might be an insect. I think Brian mentioned it might be an insect, but you guys have to review that footage. So any other feelings or impressions or manifestations of any kind that you've experienced this evening?
Specifically this evening? I did feel that as we had walked around the home and, you know, asked permission to come in, I thought that we had permission to come in even before, you know, it was asked. So I thought that was a very positive sign. That was kind of something that I saw beforehand or, you know, during in the beginning of the investigation. Other than that, there wasn't a whole lot. There has been some, a little bit of interest, but not anything that's, you know, striking.
Are you picking up any kind of residual haunting type stuff?
I'm definitely feeling, you definitely feel a lot of residual energy, imprints, something like that, especially, you know, it, different times you just kind of touch something or feel something, and you're going to feel something residual. They have a tremendous amount of old furnishings in the manor as well, some incredibly unique, beautiful furnishings. So even things like those will also bring with them, you know, their own vibrations, their own events imprinted within them. So I feel that in the furnishings as well as in the actual property as well as in the building itself. Sure, you're going to feel that no matter where you go or what you do.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's really interesting.
But, mm-hmm.
So,
yeah, want to talk to Carly? Carly is a CSI specialist. Would you like to speak with her as well?
Yes, indeed. And, you know, thank you so much for coming on and talking to us about your impressions. You sound like a what I like to see in psychics, grounded and real life, down to earth. So good for you.
Actually, I'm a medium and psychic, and I've spent lots of years in a seminary, spiritual seminary college, learning to develop my gifts, but also to work with people and help people to understand, you know, what's happening, why is it happening, and it's not usually as bad as you think it is. Normally, it's just an entity or another, a spirit just trying to communicate, just trying to say, hey, I'm here, and it, that really isn't something to be afraid of, you know? So if we just kind of stick together, work together, and, you know, we're all on this earth still. So, you know, we need to work together.
Sounds
hold on
good.
One second.
Thanks so
here's
much,
Charlie.
Erica.
You're welcome. Thank you so much for having us. Here's she.
Hello.
Hi, Carly. It's Doug, and Mike's here, too. How are you?
Hello.
Good. How are you?
Good. So what's your role on the team?
I'm the lead investigator. I've been with Brian the longest, and I also do this and that for him pretty much. I take what I've learned in college and apply it to investigations here.
Is that the forensics? Are you the forensic person?
Yes, I am.
Cool. So what's been your role tonight in this investigation?
Tonight I am pretty much, well, the first half of the night I'm taking all the notes. For John,
mm-hmm.
and then he's going to use me as the enticer during the poker scene, and then I am going to be up in Mr. Farnham's bedroom with drinking whiskey and smoking a cigar.
All right. So
that's my role.
So what have you? So you've been taking notes. What's been your take on stuff that's happened tonight?
Well, when we first pulled up, I was with our tech, Bob, and we looked over, the door was shut, because I knew the one owner was with John and Brian, and we pulled up anyways, and we got out, and the door was wide open, and they had locked it from the inside when they left, but the door was open when we got out of the truck and looked over.
Wow.
Other than that, we have a negative entity in the house that lives in the basement. And he's not appreciative of us being here, actually, because we're not paying any attention to him.
So who's this entity supposed to be? Anybody have any ideas?
He won't give up his name, but we were confirmed that at one time this was a college frat house, party house, and a guy had died here, a college kid had died in his car.
Ooh.
We might think it's him.
Huh, interesting. So now, are you sensitive as well?
A little bit, not as much as Erica, and I'm either hit or miss either. I get something or I don't.
That's cool. So describe, if you would, some of the forensic-type procedures you typically employ as a paranormal investigator.
I pretty much use the sense of when you enter a crime scene, you document everything, you pay attention to detail and what's going on around you, you look for clues
to explain some of the things that are happening and see if they are explainable, as well as photograph everything that you see. And then I just applied the basic ghost hunting to it and use it like that. I'm actually going to be teaching classes here that ties in crime scene investigation and paranormal investigation to show that they are very similar in the steps you take.
Wow, that's great. And that's a good approach, you know, treat it like a crime scene.
Mm-hmm.
Because, well, sometimes it perhaps is, you know. So, well, thanks so much for sharing your impressions and joining us tonight.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, it's been great. Who's Handy?
Brian.
Great.
I'll hand you back to him.
Thank you.
All right, thanks, Carly.
Have a good night.
Good evening.
Hey, Brian, sounds like you got some great team members there with you.
Oh, I would hope so, yeah.
You must pay them a lot of money, huh?
Well, you know, it's rough having to pay all these guys all this money, so that was a nice thing. But
you must, because they didn't say a bad thing about you.
Well, good, and then my money went to good use.
There is a question that came in a little bit late. Does Carly ever use a black light, or anybody in the investigations?
A black light? We have flashlights that are UV, UV light.
Ultraviolet, okay.
But not a black light itself.
And what do you use those for?
Well, UV obviously is the opposite end of the spectrum to infrared. So what we're trying to kind of experiment with on certain occasions is being able to see in that light if we were to see anything different.
Sure.
Obviously it doesn't work with filming with an IR camera, but using other camera equipment or even taking photographs, we're able to see in ultraviolet. We don't really use them that much. It's just an extra, you know, tool in the tool bag that we experiment with to see whether or not it has any valid reason to be in our field. It's all about research.
Here's another question from the chat room. Has the team ever witnessed positive experiences, or are they just negative? And I don't know whether it's in reference to Farnham or just in general. So to answer it both ways.
We've encountered everything, basically, and positive. We just wrapped up a case a couple of weeks ago where we did the whole process. We went from the interview to the investigation, and we actually performed the cleansing. And upon performing the cleansing, we did feel a very nice, uplifting feeling. The family that was there noticed changes. It was a very positive experience that we all encountered, and that it was really didn't expect it to happen that fast. Sometimes in certain cases, if done correctly, it will.
Sounds good. So we're coming up toward the top of the hour here, so we just got a few minutes left in our show, and I will just let those who have recently joined us know that I did set aside 2 hours for tonight just in case we had technical difficulties, but the show is going to only last here about an hour or so. So just to kind of sum up what we've talked about so far, you guys have done 3 scenarios. The most recent was Tiffany singing a song, which apparently got a response from one of the child entities, Emily. Is that correct?
Correct, yeah.
And one me. And so you're going to do the next scenario you're going to do is come up here before 2 awful long, where you guys are going to basically have a smorgasbord meal.
Yeah, looking forward to that.
Which you're going to reenact a time period in what, the 60s, 70s?
Anywhere 1948 to 1972 is when the smorgasbord was in usage. We're not looking to actually narrow down a particular year or even a decade. It's just what they did. The performance of the food, the smell of it, and the aroma of the food in the air, us enjoying the food, talking about the food that we're eating, talking about the lovely atmosphere, just putting ourselves in the smorgasbord, regardless of the year, the decade. You know, obviously we're not wearing period clothing, so we're just talking about our experience.
Sounds good. So, does John want to have any concluding comments or?
Yeah, and I believe Tiffany wants to get a quick word in as well.
Oh, okay, yeah.
I can pass it to John real fast.
Yes, yeah, no, Tiffany's fine, and then we'll talk to John and wrap it up with you.
Right.
Hello again.
Hi, how are you doing?
Hey there.
Still doing good, I'm trusting.
Oh, yeah, still doing good, getting ready to go do the next scenario. So, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, you were singing a song.
Yes, uh-huh.
And did
the song?
Go ahead.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
You go ahead. You have a comment.
Oh, okay. All right, then. Yeah, the song I was singing was called Lost Little Girl. And John actually saw me perform it at a show that we were both at together. And that's actually where, like, my partner in crime, Jason, and myself met John at. And he heard me perform Lost Little Girl, and that was when he asked us if we would be interested in doing this particular excavation, because he, I guess, felt the song would resonate very well with the little girl Emily. And the song is actually it was written as an a cappella song, but we are going to release it as a new single, like sometime this summer. With very, very minimalist instruments, but the a cappella version will still be out there. And, fortunately, Emily seemed to enjoy it. And for this next scenario, they asked me to sing a song from my debut album, Poet, and it's called Ghost, which, yeah, I guess I very appropriate for something like this. And it's actually been, I think, used on a couple of, like, radio paranormal shows as, like, what do you call it, bumper music and everything. So,
since you're talking about it, where can people find out more about your album?
My website, it's www.tiffanyapan.com. That's TiffanyApan.com. And, The album's available. It's on CD Baby, Shinto Records, Amazon, pretty much all over the internet, iTunes, Napster, and Jason English, who I work with in music a lot. He's actually going to have his own website up very soon, and he's actually working on his solo record. I'm working on my second album, so. But yeah, you can find stuff at my website, my MySpace, which is myspace.com/TiffanyApenMusic. And I'm on YouTube. I have some music videos out and everything. So,
cool.
So yeah.
So is this your first first visit to Farnham?
Farnham, yes, it is. Yes, it is. And it's been a good experience. So.
Well, very good. So, earlier you said you didn't really feel anything when she was around. Is that right? Am I remembering correctly?
No. I did feel something, when I was singing, which is why I got a little bit emotional. Because I think, Erica, I think her name is, I'm bad with names at first, but said that Emily sensed that I was sad, which I was a little bit. I just got a little emotional because, in the manner in which she passed and everything, and I was, singing as sort of like a comfort to her and all that stuff, and it did get a little bit emotional, and I did, I think I did mention before, I felt like a presence, like somebody was, like, touching my hands or something while I was, sitting in the rocking chair, singing, and, so I felt that, and I thought I felt, like, something walk around while I was singing. I did feel, some things, and I felt like a lot, it's just been a lot of positive energy here, like nothing really malevolent or negative or anything. And I think that, I do feel that it's because of the approach that,
you're breaking up just a little bit, Tiffany. If you'd go more outside, that'd be great.
Okay. Here. My better?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. But I was saying was, like, I feel that part of the positive energy is due to the approach that we're doing, because some of these shows of, ghost hunting groups and all that stuff, a lot of times when they're
trying to talk to spirits, and I'm sure they mean well when they do it, but a lot of times it's like almost like demanding, are there spirits here? Do you want to talk to us? And I think like I think somebody said before that if you're going into like somebody's house, like say like whether it's a friend or a stranger or whatever, I mean, that's not how you would. That's not who you would enter, like a, you know, somebody in the physical world, like their house. So, you know, and it really does make sense, you know, this method and everything. And,
so did you go up and see Emily's bedroom?
Yes, I did. It was very, very, very sweet, and I was actually very, very happy that she wanted to invite me up. And it was just a really, really nice little room for a little girl. It was, yeah, definitely.
Well, thanks for thanks for coming back on and
okay.
sharing some more with us. So,
no problem.
Who's there next to you?
Well, John's right across from me.
Okay, let's talk to John next, and we'll wrap it up with John, and then get Brian.
Okay.
You take care and have a good night, Tiffany.
Oh, you do the same. Thank you.
Thanks.
You and then wrap it up with Brian. Okay. Hello.
Hey, Johns. We're wrapping the show up now, so you guys are going to be doing your fourth scenario, I guess.
Yeah, we got about 15 more to go. So I mean, this is an archaeological excavation. We're going by down to levels, different levels, and we're touching scenarios on each level. So it's a very meticulous operation, but we're doing it in a very positive way. We're not asking for anything. We're not demanding anything. We're just trying to resonate with the type of entity that is here for that period and that cultural behavior.
Well, so, great. Well, why don't you mention your website where people can find out more about this?
I'm on Facebook, John Sable, myspace.-ghostexcavator. Those are the two principal ones, the Facebook and the MySpace. I have another website. I can't remember. It's so long, but that's not very updated yet. But those are the two principal ones. You can see my books on there and a lot of my blogs on there where I talk about my different techniques.
And listeners, if you want to find out more about John's work too, he's been on our Paranexus Universe show twice. So go to paranexus.org and you'll find the archives there and just look back. In fact, John was with us here, 6 weeks or so
ago? I'm going to put you on the spot here.
Go ahead.
I have a live guest excavation at Gettysburg coming up in the second week of June. Would you like you guys to do it?
Do a broadcast?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep, we'll hook
this
up.
This is live at Gettysburg. I'm going to try to I'm going to unearth Company G of the 15th Alabama on the eastern slopes of Little Round Top. That's what we're going to do.
What's the date?
The second week is Friday and Saturday, either one of those days. The second week, I don't know if it's the 11th or 12th or the 12th.
All right, well, we'll get with you and we'll get that on the schedule.
Okay, because I think it's going to be very, very interesting. I've done it before, and I have a lot of people who are participating in that one, and so we're going to have a lot more activities. We're going to have like 22 or 23 investigators out there in the woods. They're doing all kinds of different scenarios, and not only Civil War. There's some other things going on there that are before the Civil War, Native American stuff that we're going to hit on, too. That should be extremely interesting.
Sounds good. Well, we'll get with you on that, and I appreciate you coming on and letting us know how your investigation is going tonight. And
yeah, I think it's going good. We're just starting. I mean, we only did three scenarios, and we've got something already, and we're going to go tackle other cultural levels and other historical periods and see what we come up with.
Well, sounds good. Well, you have a great night, and if you'll put Brian on,
okay.
We'll wrap this show up. And
yeah, I'm going to pass it over
success.
To Brian. And okay, hold on.
Take care.
Now, you guys know I got to get my beauty sleep pretty soon.
Yeah, you're not going to get any beauty sleep, and it hasn't done much for you so far, dude.
Well, yeah, I guess you're right.
That's it? That's all I get for that?
Well, there'll be more coming.
Okay. Yeah, it'll be that passive-aggressive stuff, right?
Right.
All right, we have just a couple questions we need to wrap up with
sure.
in the chat room. Jen wants to know whether you're using any trigger objects with isolated cameras on them.
Trigger objects, yes. Actually, after I forget which number scenario that is. We're going to be upstairs in Edward Farnham's room, and it's actually Mr. Kirk's room at the same time. What we're going to do is we're going to target both of them in that particular area. We have a table set up. One of our cameras that went out the windows is already on this table that we have. We're going to lay trigger objects on the table. And one of the things we're going to do is, she's not going to drink, but we're going to have, obviously, John was talking about the cigars and alcohol. We're going to leave some alcohol there and a cigar, and we're going to see if there's any kind of movement or any other reaction.
Cool. Well, you guys had a long night ahead of you, and, you know, I appreciate you coming on and telling us how things are going and letting everybody chime in and have a part in it.
Yeah, and I'm sure we'll do a wrap-up show once we get all the evidence and everything gone through.
Yeah, sounds good. And
got a busy schedule.
And just an FYI, here in about, what is it, a couple of weeks or so, you're going to be interviewing Jody Cook.
On June 3rd.
Yeah. So if you're into Bigfoot, you'll want to join Brian as he hosts Paranexus Universe that night. So, well, Brian, you have a great night. Good luck on your investigation. Thanks for joining
Thank
us. And tell everybody else, thanks so much. Look forward to
thanks,
talking
Brian.
To you soon, my friend.
Thank you.
All right, and we appreciate everybody listening in tonight. If you're not familiar with Paranexus, we invite you to come and join us at paranexus.org. Paranexus is an association of anomalous researchers. We cover parapsychology, hauntings, ufology, abductions, even cryptozoology. So we're really an association to support those in the research fields. There's a lot of membership benefits. You can join for as little as $6.50 a month, a little less per month on average if you do it at the semi-annual rate or the annual rate. We've got a lot of benefits, a research assistant with all kinds of cool gadgets and tools to from weather to lunar phases to converters to geomagnetic fields. It's just a ton of stuff there. Plus we have blogs and tons of benefits. It's a pretty vast site, so come and join us at Paranexus.org. If you're looking for further education, we have ParanexusAcademy.org, where you can learn more about paranormal investigations, even leading a paranormal team. We have other courses coming along. We just added a hypnosis course and kind of an introduction to hypnosis there, free for members, $20 otherwise. We have an EVP course coming up before too awful long from Dr. Ingrid Irwin. And so, love to have you. And those of you who've joined us live, we really appreciate your time. Hope you learned some things. And for those of you on the archive, also thanks for taking the time to listen. Mike, thanks so much for joining me tonight and screening calls that we never had.
No problem, Doug.
Good thought. So with that, we're going to wish everybody a great weekend. And please join us this coming Thursday night. We have actually kind of an interesting topic on hand. Let me just get that really fast. It's Operation Tango Sierra and Project Serpo with Steve Hammonds. They're talking about government covering up UFOs, and Steve Hammonds is going to discuss his research and knowledge. So that's Thursday night, 9 p.m. Eastern. Have a great night, everybody. Thanks for joining us.
Take care, everyone.
Sky. It's Paranexus Universe.